Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And thank you very much. As the UK prepares to crown a king tomorrow, a new book by historian Anthony Seldon reveals that Britain's late Queen Elizabeth took a hands-on approach to the Brexit negotiations. The book, Johnson at 10, The Inside Story, claims that the Queen persuaded the then Prime Minister to reach out to Taoiseach Leo Varadkar to help secure a deal with Brussels. Seldon also tells us that Queen Elizabeth loaned the Buckingham Palace Gardens to Boris Johnson and his wife, who, we're told, found the restrictions of national lockdowns personally unbearable. Now, yesterday's local elections in England delivered a drubbing to Boris Johnson's successor, Rishi Sunak, with the Conservative Party braced for massive losses. And we'll talk about that too with Oliver Wright, who is policy editor with The Times and joins us from London. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning.
So let's deal with the revelations in the book, because the British monarch, we're always told, does not get involved in politics. But Anthony Seldon's book says that she advised Boris Johnson on the Brexit negotiations. What happened?
I think the truth is the monarch never gets publicly involved in politics. But I mean, I think there have been a number of occasions over the years where the Queen has given, private advice, particularly to prime ministers, which obviously it's up to them whether to take. And what Seldon shows fascinatingly is at a critical moment in the Brexit negotiations, the Queen decided that it would be wise to intervene. Now, we're going back now to the sort of summer of 2019, when there was a massive impasse in the Brexit negotiations. Boris Johnson had just come into power. He was threatening no deal, but privately behind the scenes realised that he had to get a deal with the EU and needed something that he could sell. But at the same time, he had irritated the leaders of France and Germany and those leaders in Brussels pretty considerably, and they weren't in much of a mood to do Boris Johnson any favours. And what Seldon reveals is that during a visit to Balmoral, he went walking with the Queen, where she subtly put the idea in his head that she might like to reach out to Leo Varadkar as a sort of honest broker, as it were, to sort of see if he might be persuaded to come round to some sort of deal over Northern Ireland that could unlock a wider Brexit deal and allow the UK to leave the European Union with the withdrawal agreement, as is what happened.
So then that walk led to another very famous walk, and people will remember the photograph of Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar walking together in a hotel garden in the Wirral. Are we to believe that that is what followed directly from that subtle intervention, as you say?
So there was one other stage, which was a phone call between Johnson and Varadkar, where they sort of tested out the ground, as it were, for that meeting in Liverpool. So that was the first thing. But I think that you're right, that the absolute breakthrough came in the Wirral, when both men discarded their aides, as it were, went into a private room. They talked together for around 90 minutes. And then at the end of that, they called in their respective chiefs of staff and negotiators and said, "We think we've got a deal."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has that happened before? With the Queen getting involved in this sort of indirect way to influence the outcome?
So the only example that I can think of in recent years is the 2014 Scottish independence referendum, where the Queen made some pretty pointed remarks coming out of church, also at Balmoral, where she spoke to one of the people who well wishes who was outside the church, and they had a planted question to ask the Queen about the Scottish referendum, and she replied that people should think very carefully about how they should vote. Now, that, it later transpired, was entirely deliberate. It had been cooked up between Buckingham Palace and Downing Street as a way of using the monarchy to try and influence the vote. So she has done this kind of thing before, but what people don't like is the sort of any sort of publicity around the Queen trying to influence things, because obviously, constitutionally, the monarch is only the sort of symbolic head of state and shouldn't be seen to interfere in politics.
I mentioned that other juicy tidbit from the book. The Queen took pity on Boris Johnson and Carrie, did she, during lockdown, and said, "You can use my garden." Don't they have a garden, though, at Downing Street? That's where they had their parties, right?
they do. And it's not as large as the Buckingham Palace Gardens, it has to be said. I think the argument was that, particularly Carrie Johnson, who, you know, obviously had a baby at the time, found the sort of whole atmosphere in Downing Street very oppressive. Yes, there is a garden and many, many people suffered a hell of a lot worse during lockdown. But the argument was that if she wanted to take Wilfred out into the garden, she was basically overlooked by, you know, hundreds of people working in the building. The garden may be part of Downing Street, but it isn't private. And, you know, the idea was that the Queen gave her somewhere private to go and also somewhere that Boris Johnson could go running. If you remember, he'd recently recovered from COVID and was, you know, trying to get up his fitness, and he didn't want to be photographed or sort of videos of him, you know, running. Probably not, you know, it was quite difficult, quite a slow recovery process, and he just wanted to do that away from sort of prying eyes.
Mm-hmm. And that was the offer which was taken up. Just to come back then to today, Boris Johnson on the back bench as Rishi Sunak has to face the music after what happened overnight. What is the latest, Oliver, on the local elections for the Conservatives?
So we've got a bit of a hiatus just at the moment. You have a whole series of councils that counted overnight, and then you've got more councils that actually haven't started counting until this morning. So those results aren't really going to start coming through much before lunchtime. But certainly if you look at the results that we have had overnight, they look like they look pretty bad for the Conservatives. Before the election, if you talk to sort of senior strategists there, they were saying, oh, we think we could lose 1,000 seats. Now, that's expectation management. Privately, they didn't think they were going to lose anywhere near that number. And the fact that we are this morning looking at 1,000, possibly a bit more, plus losses, that is not good for Sunak. And fundamentally, it shows that the opinion polls are right, that, you know, Labour does have a 14-point, 15-point lead in the popular vote. We'll see later on today some sort of more kind of less off-the-cuff assessments. There will be sort of projected share of the national vote from these local elections, which will give us a more accurate idea. But certainly, you know, if you're a Labour, you'd be cheerful today. Tories, not so much.
Well, they are very cheerful, haven't they? Because they're saying that based on these results and projecting ahead to the general election, this statement from the Labour Party says, we would win a majority in government.
Yeah. Now, you know, these are local elections. Turnout in these local elections is much less than it would be in a general election. You're probably talking about sort of 30% turnout as opposed to around 70% turnout. And people vote for different reasons in local elections than they do in national elections. You've also got independents in local councils have been a big feature in recent years. So there are a lot of, it's hard to sort of directly extrapolate, but you know, yeah, if you were Labour, you were going to be cheerful this morning. If you were the Conservatives, you're, you know, going to be much less so.
Oliver, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Oliver Wright of The Times in London. Coming up next, all the best TVs and movies to watch out for this month. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.